Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As I continue to look for more ways to fulfill my pledge to provide the information you need to make informed choices about your health and wellness, I've developed a simple way for you to access curated supplement protocols previously available only to patients in my private practice. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com. There you'll find easy-to-follow links to not only the best individual products, but also to my brand new Intelligent Medicine Lifestyle Supplement Protocols that combine the products I recommend to achieve your specific goals, whether it be heart health, immune support, and much more. It's the easiest way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need in order to follow the Intelligent Medicine Lifestyle, and for a limited time, you'll also receive free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. This is Layla Mudin. I'm a registered dietitian. I have a master's degree in the field of nutrition and exercise. I work alongside Dr. Ronald Hoffman here on the west side of Manhattan at 330 West 58th Street, and I maintain a private practice there as well. If you'd like an appointment with me, call our office, 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. If you're not able to travel into the office, I do telephone consults. It's very, very convenient. So, let me dive right in. I want to weigh in on a few things here that I've been reading about. And by the way, if you want to email me with any topics of interest or questions, please email me to radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. So, prenatal early sugary drink exposure ups asthma risk in children. Now, you know, pregnancy, I don't have to tell you that pregnancy is probably one of the most important and vulnerable times in a woman's life. You want to be extra careful. There are rules. You want to protect yourself from foodborne illness. That means staying away from cold cuts or cured meats. If you want to eat those cold cuts, you must cook them. Yes, that's what I said. These are the rules for pregnant women. You should not have raw dairy products like unpasteurized cheese or soft cheeses that are unpasteurized. Beware of imports because many of them may be unpasteurized. We are afraid of listeria, not just from the unpasteurized dairy, but also from the cold cuts I mentioned earlier. It's a carrier or may have listeria. Listeria bacteria can cause miscarriage. Other things to be careful during pregnancy is fish, high mercury fish. You want to stay away from tuna, tilefish, king mackerel, shark, swordfish, even orange roughy. So, and be careful of that lobster from time to time. And you have to wonder, with all the rules for pregnant women, we should extrapolate from that for the rest of us and for young children. Their little bodies are dealing with the same dose of toxins that we're taking in, you know, barring portion size and all of that. So, the next thing women have to be careful of is sugary drinks. Children of mothers who drink large amounts of sugary beverages during pregnancy and those with high dietary intake of fructose in early childhood may be at increased risk of developing asthma in mid-childhood, according to the findings of a study published in the Annals of the American Thoracic Society. In addition, the relationship between in utero and early childhood exposure to the sweeteners and later asthma appears to be independent of children's adiposity or fatness. Okay. Links between obesity and overweight and both asthma and fructose consumption have been previously established, and recent studies suggest that in addition to influencing asthma through increasing the risk of obesity, high fructose intake may influence the risk of lung diseases, at least in part through distinct mechanisms, say the authors. Specifically, it has been hypothesized that excess free fructose increases intestinal formation and absorption of advanced glycation end products, which may interact with the receptor of AGEs, advanced glycation end products, which is a potential mediator of obstructive lung disease development. Fascinating. So AGEs, the acronym is apropos. They age us. We pretty much rust. Now, in addition to the association between the development of asthma and sugar exposure in early childhood, previous data also indicate a relationship between maternal consumption of free sugar during pregnancy and atopic asthma in mid-childhood, according to the authors. On the basis of these multiple associations, they hypothesized that these exposures during critical periods of lung and immune growth and development may increase asthma risk. Another reason to avoid sugar, ladies. To test this hypothesis, the researchers analyzed data from 1,068 mother-child pairs enrolled in Project VIVA, a longitudinal research study looking at the effects of mothers' diets as well as other factors during pregnancy and after birth between the years 1999 and 2002. The researchers gathered data on maternal beverage consumption during pregnancy. And how do they get this information? Via food frequency questionnaires, FFQs, which is typical standard of practice in a lot of scientific research. However, there is recall bias, and that's, you know, that's a topic for another podcast. We have to be careful with the FFQs. It's a matter of how well do you recall how much you had. So the research was gathered using these food frequency questionnaires completed by the mothers after in-person research visits at the end of their first and second trimesters of pregnancy. The researchers obtained information on early childhood fructose consumption from regular soda and fruit drinks and asthma status, respectively, from questionnaires the mothers completed when their children reached a median 3.3 years of age and again at a median 7.7 years of age. So they found that this early sugary drink exposure may up asthma risk. Now, the researchers also conducted other analyses to identify possible systemic inflammatory mechanisms underlying the link between the intake of these sugary beverages and asthma. We did not find associations of maternal, prenatal, or early childhood intake of sugar-sweetened beverages, juice, total fructose, with peripheral blood levels of high-sensitivity C-reactive protein, interleukin-6, tumor necrosis factors, as measured in children at the mid-childhood visit. These markers that I just told you, C-reactive protein, interleukin-6, tumor necrosis factor, these are inflammatory markers. So, they note, however, that inflammatory influences may have occurred locally in the lung rather than systemically or at a time outside of their measurements. And as such, the absence of association of prior intake of fructose with these systemic markers years later, it doesn't exclude the possibility that fructose caused this innate inflammation, the cytokine mediated inflammation specific to lungs, to these airways. So the authors conclude that the study provides additional support for the likelihood that diet and its metabolic effects play an important role in disease risk, even for conditions like asthma, according to Jason Lang, MD, associate professor in the Division of Allergy, Immunology, and Pulmonary Medicine at Duke University. We already know that high sugar-sweetened beverage consumption is associated with high blood sugars and insulin resistance, and these metabolic problems have clearly been associated with reactive airways and symptoms of asthma. It's very possible that a mother's consumption of sugary beverages during pregnancy and also a young child's early consumption can both add to the risk of early asthma. Now, this is very, very interesting. Because that the scientists note that they know that high blood sugars, insulin resistance, these are metabolically problems that have been associated with reactive airways and symptoms of asthma. A gold standard in nutrition practice, at least in integrative nutrition practice, which is what I practice, the antidote or the diet, the therapeutic diet for COPD, that's chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, is a high-fat, low-carb diet. A high-fat, low-carb diet will decrease those high blood sugars and decrease insulin resistance, making cells more sensitive to insulin. But it's helpful for asthma and COPD in another way. The metabolism of carbohydrates and glycolysis render CO2 and water, and among other things, it's the CO2 that the lungs are expiring or exhaling. So by embarking or implementing a lower carb diet in a patient with asthma or COPD, because the metabolism of carbohydrates lessens, there is less CO2, right, that's being secreted as a result that's being produced as a result of glycolysis, as a result of the metabolism of those carbohydrates. Therefore, there's less CO2 being created in the body. That's what I'm getting at. And the less burden on the lungs, the less burden on those airways to be exhaling. Think of a person with emphysema. It's not just the inhale that's difficult, it's the exhale that's very, very difficult. If you've ever watched or known a person with emphysema, that characteristic barrel-chested shape that happens in their torso, and their trouble breathing, much of it is on the exhale. They have trouble removing that built-up carbon dioxide. By embarking on a low-carb diet, it lessens the amount of CO2 that they have to exhale, and lessening the burden, and thereby improving symptoms. And this is why this is often an eating plan that I implement in my patients with COPD, with asthma, with all of that. So, very, very interesting study. And pregnant women, be careful. It's not a time to sit with your feet up and eat your bonbons. There's a lot of sugar there. And the sugary sweetened beverages. Be careful. Don't always opt for that fruit smoothie. Eat your fruit. Make sure it's organic. Stay away from the juice. You don't need all that fructose. Moving on here, another one from Integrative Practitioner. insights into integrative medicine. This is about gut health. Gut bacteria drive autoimmune disease. This is interesting. Bacteria found in the small intestines of mice and humans can travel to other organs and trigger an autoimmune response, according to a new Yale study. The researchers also found that the autoimmune reaction can be suppressed with an antibiotic or vaccine designed to target the bacteria, they said. The findings, published in Science, the journal, suggest promising new approaches for treating chronic autoimmune conditions, including systemic lupus and autoimmune liver disease, the researchers say. Gut bacteria have been linked to a range of diseases, including autoimmune conditions characterized by immune system attack of healthy tissue. To shed light on this link, a Yale research team focused on Enterococcus gallinarum, a bacteria they discovered is able to spontaneously translocate outside of the gut to lymph nodes, to the liver, and to the spleen. So this bacteria, Enterococcus gallinarum, is able to leave the gut, travel to the lymph nodes, liver, and spleen. In models of genetically susceptible mice, the researchers observed that in tissues outside the gut, E. gallinarum initiated the production of autoantibodies and inflammation. Wow, hallmarks of the autoimmune response. They confirm the same mechanisms of inflammation in cultured liver cells of healthy people and the presence of this bacterium in livers of patients with autoimmune disease. Through further experiments, the research team found that they could suppress autoimmunity in mice with an antibiotic or a vaccine aimed at E. gallinarum. With either approach, the researchers were able to suppress growth of the bacterium in the tissues and blunt its effects on the immune system. Wow. Quote, when we block the pathway leading to inflammation, we could reverse the effect of this bug on autoimmunity, said senior author Martin Kriegel, MD. The vaccine against E. gallinarum was a specific approach, as vaccinations against other bacteria we investigated did not prevent mortality and autoimmunity. The vaccine was delivered through injection in muscle to avoid targeting other bacteria that reside in the gut. So while Kriegel and his colleagues plan further research on Enterococcus gallinarum and its mechanisms, the findings have relevance for systemic lupus and autoimmune liver disease. Treatment with an antibiotic and other approaches such as vaccination are promising ways to improve lives with autoimmune disease. So, this Enterococcus gallinarum, if this bacterium is able to spontaneously leave the gut, to translocate from the gut and go to other organs like the spleen, the liver, the lymph nodes, you have to wonder, and it really comes back to what we know, a tenet in integrative and functional medicine. We know that most, if not all, autoimmune disease processes begin with altered gut microbiota, with a leaky gut, with problems in the gut. So, in somebody who's going to be predisposed to autoimmunity, they must have the terrain in the gut that is host that is susceptible to this E. gallinarum bacterium that can develop, proliferate, and then translocate. So the gut health is so important. And again, we're really at the tip of the iceberg in looking at the microbiota, in looking at the complete microbiome, or even our holobiome. Our holobiome is, you know, if you look at us, the air around us microscopically, our microbiota are kind of everywhere in our little force field, if I may call it that. We're walking around in our own pig pen dust or holobiome. If you remember pig pen from Charles Schulz's Peanuts cartoon with Charlie Brown, remember the character pig pen? He was always walking around in a little cloud of dust. If you want to imagine your holobiome, imagine pig pen. So, and that's actually from Dr. Stephen Gundry's book, The Plant Paradox. He makes a nice analogy there if you want to visualize what your holobiome looks like. So the gut microbiota, again, of primary importance. And I want to thank you for joining me. And again, let me remind you, if you want to email me questions, email me at radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. And I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In, here on Intelligent Medicine. This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.